It's time to catch the beat for Market Street on WEFT Champaign 90.1 FM. Your community radio station is in the heart of the action in downtown Champaign, and Catch the Beat brings highlights of local news, arts, culture, and issues to pay attention to. Catch the Beat is brought to you in part by the listeners of WEFT and Jane Addams Bookshop in downtown Champaign. For more than 40 years, Jane Addams Bookshop has been a destination for readers and book lovers of all ages. Featuring three floors of gently used books, greeting cards, journals, and more. Jane Addams Bookshop is at 208 North Neal in downtown Champaign. Online at Jane Addams, that's ADDAMS books.com. As always on WEF, the views and opinions expressed on air are solely those of the speaker and do not necessarily represent those of WEF Champaign, Prairie Air Inc., station management, the board of directors, or the WEF associates. I'm your host, Cope Cumston. I'm pleased to welcome to Catch the Beat Jillian Paxton, who is studying for a PhD in communications and media at the University of Illinois. You already have a master's degree in journalism, so you are covering the bases in all kinds of media. And Jillian, I met you at a Saturday workshop for high school students at the Content Creation Lab at Illinois Public Media, which pulled me in because I'm always interested in getting young people on air. And this lab is a project led by Angela Aguayo, who is Associate Professor of Media and Cinema Studies at the University of Illinois College of Media. She designed the lab to invite teens to explore podcasting, audio storytelling, video production, documentary, and social media content in the brand new podcasting studios at Illinois Public Media, which for us WEFTies is a very spiffy place. We are not used to such hot and cold running technology. Anyway, Professor Aguayo allowed me to be a fly on the wall at that Saturday workshop where you are an instructor. And I saw you masterminding the technology for an interview between two high school students and a soccer coach and player at the U of I. And they were all excited about this interview that they were going to do. So tell us about the Content Creation Lab and your involvement in it.
So the Content Creation Lab is a really cool and very exciting project that I feel very lucky to be a part of. I met Professor Aguayo through basically the School of Media has a colloquium, essentially, where different researchers and professors come and present on their work every week. And two semesters ago now, the fall semester, I was signed up and I was there every week. And she came to talk about her work on documentary film with students. She's done a lot of research where she helps students and young people make their own films. And one of the things that was really inspiring to me about her work was how she really focuses on letting young people kind of have the as much freedom to do what they want as possible and as much kind of power to do what they want as possible. And I feel like that was very inspirational to me. And so I came up to her afterwards and I was like, you know, I would love to help out in whatever way you can with whatever you're doing. Because she mentioned this Content Creation Lab project. So basically what it is it's free for any high school students in the area who want to come. Currently, we don't have the dates for the next workshop yet, but they will be in the fall and they're on Saturdays. And once there's more information on that, we'll talk about it on our social media feeds. We have an Instagram, we have a LinkedIn, you know, maybe we can link it or something like that. But basically what we do is we get to bring students into a really nice, you know, souped up, good technology lab and studio and place basically where they get to learn hands-on how to run a podcast or, you know, even work behind the scenes, which is kind of what I was doing a little bit, run the soundboard, run the cameras for a video podcast, something like that. Basically anything they want to do, we let them have a chance to do it. And we also kind of help them come up with ideas for what they might want to make, you know, what podcast topics they might be interested in exploring. On the particular day you were there, we brought in some people that they might want to interview. We had a couple of different workshops and we had students kind of return. And so we knew what their interests were. We knew what they wanted to learn about. Those two students in particular you saw are both local soccer players and were interested in, and we saw them like get into really heated conversations about soccer and about, their favorite athletes and stuff like that. So we knew we needed to bring in some soccer players for them to interview. And we actually, and I believe it was actually Eastern Illinois University, the coach and one of the players from their soccer team. And it was just a really fun and lively conversation. And so I think what's cool about it is like we let the students take control and kind of get in there and like jump in and really get to do something that looks so professional and they can really be proud of and hopefully empower them to kind of take that with them. And we try to give them as many materials afterward as we can. We give them the footage, the audio, stuff like that, if they wanted to do something with it later down the line, and basically just get to try something new and learn.
Will these podcasts be broadcast in any way through Illinois Public Media?
We actually did a partnership with Illinois Soul, and we produced a full episode that is out on Illinois Soul's YouTube channel. I believe it's called Teen Dialogue, or it's the teen edition of their show Dialogue. And that actually features the soccer interview that we're talking about, but also a really cool Hot Topics segment where basically all of the teens who were there that day got to sort of sit in a round table and talk about a lot of different topics that they were interested in. So they talked about like arts and music and climate change and like their futures and stuff like that. It was really, really interesting. So that episode is up on YouTube. Other than that, we kind of leave it up to the students for what they get to do. Although I have been posting away on our social media feeds a lot of clips of our students and stuff that they've been doing. So if you're interested in hearing some of their work, I highly recommend you check out any of our social media feeds, because that's something I've been working on this summer, is really highlighting the work that they did on these last workshops. I imagine we'll continue doing that going forward, once the fall workshops start. Something that I really feel about this whole project, and something I feel serious about in my work, is that I think giving young people the ability and the opportunity to like talk about things that interest them, even if those things are not like maybe the most serious things on the surface, like soccer or something like that. I think it gives them a lot of confidence and a lot of self-sufficiency and like feeling that they can talk about stuff and kind of help them build up to talking about maybe more serious things. I think there is a lot of discourse about young people and media that kind of imagines them as sort of like at the mercy of it. They're addicted to their cell phones, they're addicted to social media, they can't control themselves. I feel like the narrative that we tell them a lot of the time is that they have no control, they have no power. And so I think, though maybe we didn't quite get to, the serious topics necessarily in this first, what I do think we got to is giving these kids some confidence and some kind of showing them that like media could definitely be something that they have the power to be a direct agent in. And also, being involved in the community was something that was kind of important to what we were doing with the Content Creation Lab, too. Like the people that we brought in for them to talk to were members of the community who kind of showed them that there were things happening in their community that was relevant to their interests and relevant to what they were thinking about in the future. Like there was a really cool segment on our Teen Dialogue episode, and I wish I had his name off the top of my head, but there is an actor in Hamilton, in the Broadway cast of Hamilton, who used to go to U of I and a bunch of the high schools in the local Champaign area. And there's a really beautiful moment watching back the episode. I just love it, where they show the clip of him and he's like talking about his experience. And then it cuts to one of our teens and he's like, I went to all the same schools that that guy did. And I thought, I'm just from like nowhere important. Like I'm not from some big city or some like important place, but like he's on Broadway. Like you really can get out and do whatever you want. And it's like such a cool moment, And so that's the kind of stuff we want these students to have, where they get to see somebody from the community doing something cool and show them that like, yes, this person's just like you. They're doing these cool things. And so maybe to them in the moment, that doesn't seem very big and important, but I, as a person who was kind of empowered by media and getting to make my own media, I feel like that really helped me.
Four of the goals listed on the lab's explanation page are teaching students' confidence in speaking and presenting, technical skills in recording, editing, and storytelling, media literacy and critical thinking, and then teamwork, leadership, and problem-solving experience, which all happen when you are planning something like a podcast and an interview. And you've also had classroom experience yourself in teaching media and graphic design and things like that in your work with students. How did you see these things playing out?
It's very personal work for me because I kind of got my start, and I owe a lot of where I am now to the fact that I was a student journalist when I was in high school. I grew up in Indiana, and I was a first a reporter and then a copy editor and then a section editor of my high school newspaper. And although I didn't end up in journalism necessarily, although I studied it and I love journalism and I'm still definitely very involved, I feel like that experience really gave me a lot of confidence in the fact that I had something valuable to say and that I could say, you know, maybe even like things that seemed controversial or things that seemed like I'm not supposed to say these things. I had a great advisor, Jim Streisel, who was really supportive of us and the things that we wanted to do and helped us get what we wanted out there when sometimes it's hard for student journalists to cover important stuff when, you know, school administrations might not always like that or other students might not think it's cool, you know, that sort of thing. So I had that experience. And so I really wanted to give something similar to the students that I've worked with. And so I've been really fortunate to work with journalism students and students in media, mostly at the high school and the college level. At Indiana University, there's something called the High School Journalism Institute, which is really cool. Basically, they bring in journalism students at the high school level from across the country to stay on the campus and take classes about journalism at the media school there. And so I've taught opinion writing there because that was kind of my little jam when I was a high school journalist. What's so fun about that is like you get a lot of students who I think are kind of in this mindset of like, I'm just a student, I'm just a kid. Maybe I'm interested in seeing the campus, but like mostly what I'm doing here is not that important. But something that I really try and focus on is like, especially in opinion writing, but any kind of journalism, any kind of media production, you're responding to the world. You know, you're seeing the issues that are important to your community and you're trying to serve them in some kind of way, giving them information, helping them see things in a new way, maybe, or finding out something that they didn't know before and giving it to them in a way that they can understand and that might enlighten them in some ways. And that's really important work, no matter what you're level you're doing it at. You know, even if you're a high school journalist who's just reporting to your high school, the fact that you're taking something, maybe even like a larger world issue, and you're bringing it to a local level and you're helping people understand why it matters. That's so important. That's such important work. And it's something that you can do even when you're very young. And I think that's extremely empowering. It was empowering for me, and I get to see it be empowering to these students too. And even in the week that I get to work with these students, I see them gain confidence and like see themselves as serious journalists, even if that's not what they want to do in their future necessarily. But I think the skills of communication and the skills of research are important no matter who you are. So I'm in more media focused, you know, more multimedia focused environments, like what we do with Content Creation Lab. And I teach graphic design and a lot of other stuff at the college level as a teaching assistant. I just think putting tools in people's hands that they kind of associate with professional work and kind of saying, like, you can do this too. It's within your reach and you can use it to create really professional looking work that, like, does something important, that says something important. I think that gives a lot to students and it gives them a lot of confidence and shows them that like they can do important stuff, be serious about it and see themselves as professionals and take pride in what they're communicating. And I think that's really cool.
And there are such wonderful resources in this community. And I love it that the Content Creation Lab brings students from the community into high-level professional settings to do their own work. It's a wonderful experience. I think it's very heady for students to get to do that. In the work that you did this year, Did you learn things about what the students are interested in and maybe what worked and what didn't that will shape what direction you think the content creation lab may go in?
That's a really good question. I think one of the things that we learned, and I think we kind of knew that this was going to be something we'd have to struggle with a little bit from the beginning, but I think it was really helpful to actually get in there and work with it, was the fact that the nature of the content creation lab is that students would come to us from a lot of different levels. Some of our students were totally comfortable in front of the camera from the word go. They were like, put me in, I want to be there. And that's awesome. And we loved to have that. But we also had a lot of students who were really shy, who had never really spoken publicly. We had some students, English wasn't their first language. And so that was this added challenge on top of the regular pressure that can come when you're cameras pointing at you for the first time, and you're kind of expected to talk in front of people. And also, I think we had a lot of differences of interest. We had students who were like, definitely, I never want to be in front of the camera. I just want to be behind the sound booth. I just want to, do the technical stuff. And so we get students of a lot of different levels and a lot of different interests. And something that was important to us from the beginning was making sure that we could engage with students of all levels, basically, at all types, and give them all something to take away. Maybe your student's goal is never to be, I don't want to be in front of the camera. I don't want to be the one doing the interview. But we had some students who started out really shy and not ready to be in the spotlight. And by the end of their time with us, they'd worked up the courage and had started even like posing interview questions during our episode. And that was really cool to see. And I think having those experiences with these students has given us some really good ideas on how we could help similar students get to where they want to go. In particular, one of our students who English wasn't her first language, we did like a starting activity where they all had to do like a 1 minute story from their life. That was their very first time in front of a microphone. You only have to fill a minute, but just tell us something, some interesting story or funny story or heartwarming story from your life, kind of help them come up with some ideas. And this student, she was just still really shy and like uncertain of herself. And I can't take credit for this. This was another teacher with me, Angela Condi, who's awesome. I was like, well, you don't have to tell us the story in English. And so she did her 1 minute story in her native language. And I think that was a huge thing that really helped her like warm up to the idea of being in front of the camera and kind of get confident and understand that like we could help her at whatever level she needed to be at. And by the end, she was one of our teens on the dialogue episode who did a fantastic job in front of the camera, asking some really good questions and getting involved. And so I think we always can improve at that sort of thing. That's one of the hardest things about teaching is meeting students at all the levels they come to us at. This first experience was a really excellent first go that kind of helped us see the kinds of different levels we were going to be facing and maybe come up with some strategies on how to meet that in the moment.
I want to be sure to have time for you to describe your own research because you're doing some quite interesting and important research on media literacy and curricula, cell phone bans, and you work not just with teens. So tell us a little bit about what you're studying.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. I often describe my work as it's about media literacy education. And so, as you kind of briefly mentioned, I started in journalism. That was my undergraduate degree. And I learned very important lessons where, and one of the most important lessons was that I was not a journalist, at least not a traditional journalist, but I really care about journalism. And I also learned that I loved teaching. I was a writing tutor in undergrad, and I was in undergrad around the time of the first Donald Trump election, when the fake news and distrust of journalism was kind of at a really huge all-time high. And I remember having all these conversations with my fellow students of like, I wish that the general public knew more about journalism. I wish that they knew what the job is like and what bias actually means and what objectivity actually means. And we wish we could like actually create understanding between the public and journalism. And I feel like that idea, plus my teaching experience and kind of starting to learn to teach, kind of made me put together this idea of what resources does education need in order to teach all students, not just students bound to be journalists, how to interpret the media and how to understand a really complicated and even ever growing more complicated media landscape. What with misinformation and AI and all these really complicated things happening right in front of their eyes. So I started definitely with young people. My first major research project was my master's thesis, and that was about media literacy curriculum in the state of Indiana, which is again where I'm from. It's kind of an interesting situation there. What I ended up kind of landing on was this conversation about how confident teachers feel teaching media literacy and the beliefs that teachers have about media literacy and how those things can often interact with even when the state sets out a guideline that's like, you guys need to be teaching media literacy in English language arts classes. There's a lot of confusion over what that means and what that could look like. And do I have time for it? And how is this going to affect standardized tests? And do I have support? And also, very importantly, I think for a lot of teachers, is like, am I going to get pushback from parents for talking about this stuff? And so that was where I started, but I've always been really interested with working with students. And so current research project that I'm kind of interested in playing around with is about cell phone bans. It's very relevant, actually, because Illinois is considering their very own statewide cell phone ban right now. I actually think by the end of the month, we're going to start seeing some real efforts to get this a bill, basically, that bans cell phones. I believe the current plan is bell to bell, so the entire school day for elementary and middle school students, and then optional bell to bell for high school students, but maybe only during instructional time for high school students. And that's a huge trend in the United States right now. A lot of states, I believe currently the count is 42 states, have some kind of statewide legislation regulating cell phones in the school in some way. And it's a very complicated topic. But something that I found really interesting about it is like a lot of the research about the effectiveness of cell phone bans is currently focused on teachers and their perspective on cell phone bans. And that's important for sure. I love teachers and I think they absolutely should be listened to. But I was really interested in like, what do students have to say? Because it's their cell phones that is going to be affected. It's their access to social media and the internet and their apps and like their possession or their parents' possession that's kind of being restricted from them for a significant part of the day. What I'm currently kind of toying with is I'd love to hear from students about this topic and to understand what do they think about these effects, because this is another conversation where I feel like we're kind of talking over students a little bit. Like, we're having some very serious conversations about like what are the effects of cell phones on mental health, on attention, and these are all really important conversations to have, but like I think that young people are fully capable of participating in this conversation themselves. But I've done some preliminary research on subreddits about high school, and there's a lot of conversations about cell phone bans there because it's such a widespread nationwide thing. And I'm surprised at how split I've seen students talk about. Some of them are really all for the bans because they are like, I feel like I'd love ha to have a break from my cell phone during the day. I'd love to not have to respond to my parents and my friends or be expected to respond or have the temptation of pulling my phone out. And then some students are maybe going along with something a little bit more expected, but some of them make like really interesting arguments. Like I've seen some students argue that I feel like the school day could be a really nice opportunity for me to practice having self-control over my cell phone. If it's like an all-out ban, then it's going to happen once I'm out in the real world. Like I'm going to, the ban is gone. So why am I not just pulling my phone out in my college classes or at my job? It's a really interesting topic and I'm excited to look more into it. And then with iMedia, which is a really fascinating and awesome media literacy research group at the School of Media here at the University of Illinois. We're actually doing research right now with older people, with retired people 65 and older, which is a totally different age group than I've ever worked with before. But it's such a fascinating conversation that we've been having about media literacy because, in a similar way, there's a lot of stereotypes with older people where it's like, they have no idea what they're doing with technology. They're at the whims of technology. Like we have to protect them. But the conversations I've been having with a lot of these people is really nuanced, and a lot of them have a lot of concerns about security and privacy and remaining on top of things while they might be facing like the health effects of aging. vision decline, cognitive decline, that sort of stuff. What I'm kind of coming to from these different age groups, we often think about ourselves as like at the mercy of media, but I feel like we're a lot more in control than we think we are a lot of the time. And I think it's empowering to realize the power that we have to make decisions that are healthy for us about how we use media. And I think overall, that's what I want my work to come to is like, how can we empower people to take control of their media use, whether that be picking the right sources that are full of misinformation or that aren't trying to sway people one way or the other, or picking things that are good for your mental health, putting it down, taking a break occasionally, having the skills to navigate difficult privacy security issues or knowing when to ask for help. All of these things, I think, are questions of agency. I think media literacy education, if it is effective, will give people this agency.
And the students really have as much to teach the experts, the older people, as the other way around.
I learn something every time I talk to high schoolers. I really do. And if you know a teen in your life who might be interested in learning podcasting and getting to play with some really nice technology, really nice facilities at Illinois Public Media, please let them know.
Teens can apply directly, they don't have to go through their school.
They do not have to go through their school. We basically have a form on our website that will open up once the dates are announced. I feel like the more I learn, the less I know most of the time. So
You are getting a perspective on the needs and the potential and the voice, really, how students can get their voice out there, because I think it's very important that young people be listened to in this world. Yeah, we're handing them a very complicated world, and the sooner students have a real say in it, the better.
I totally agree, and I hope that that's what my work can end up doing is giving a lot more people the ability to use media in a productive way that serves them and serves their community.
Here's a big thank you to Jillian Paxton for sharing her research and perspectives on the role media plays from high school students to seniors through her research as a PhD student in communications and media and as an instructor in the Content Creation Lab through the College of Media and Illinois Public Media. You can learn more about the Content Creation Lab and find out when programs will be offered to high school students in the fall on their website, through the U of I's College of Media, publish.illinois.edu/content-creation-lab. And I'd like to put in a cheer for WEF's own weekly show about these issues, Tech Unfiltered, on Saturday nights from 5 to 6 p.m., hosted by Uni High School student Urvi Banerjee. Urvi takes a close look at the many ways that modern technology affects lives through the intersection of coding, engineering, and design. She explains technical topics in clear language to help listeners learn and form their own opinions. Catch the Beat is brought to you in part by the listeners of WEFT and Jane Addams Bookshop in downtown Champaign. For more than 40 years, Jane Addams Bookshop has been a destination for readers and book lovers of all ages. Jane Addams Bookshop at 208 North Neal in downtown Champaign, online at janeaddamsbooks.com. You're listening to WEFT Champaign 90.1 FM, streaming on weft.org. All episodes of Catch the Beat are archived on the WEFT website at weft.org under Public Affairs. You can also listen to live stream and archive shows on the WEFT app, available on your favorite app store. With thanks to Creative Commons for intro and outro music by Kevin MacLeod, see you next time.